Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Fancast. I'm Anthony Kendrick and joining me this week we've got Blackburn fan Daniel Whiteside. Hi Danny, you well?
Yeah, not too bad, thank yourself.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Recent news about Blackburn, I suppose it's good timing in a way, with Gary Bowyer being sacked.
Good timing, bad timing. They don't need to be getting sacked, not really the great time for ourselves. It's good timing to have a chat about it.
Is it good for you? Are you happy he's gone? Or?
I haven't decided. Me and my friend, we go to the home games at Rovers all the time, and got seen tickets, and we're back to beyond belief. Really, he's a nice guy, Barry Bowyer. He loves the club. He's done really well for what he's had. He's not been able to buy anybody since January 2014. I think he's not been able to buy anybody. So he's working with a limited budget. Resources have been tight, and he's done really well. Admittedly, that this season hasn't been the best start. But I thought it would have got a bit longer. I didn't think they'd pull the trigger this soon.
Well, he started out as reserve team manager, and then he was sort of made caretaker manager, and then got the job permanently.
He had a few chances from there. He was reserve manager under a few managers, and then we got rid of Keane. He came in for a bit, and then we got Mike Hopperton in. Henningberg, got the wrong way around. He left, Gary Bowyer came in, and I think that was quite positive, really, when he came in. And then we bought Appleton in, and then we give Bowyer another stint right at the end of the season, and he seems to do all right then. And that's when he won himself, put himself right in the limelight for the job. The players seem to love him, the club loves him, he loves the club. He's always, I think he bleeds blue and white from what you hear and what you see, and he's got dedication.
Let's go back then. Since Venky's took over, because Sam Allardyce was sacked pretty much immediately after, and then there were stints under Steve Keane, Henningberg and Michael Appleton. I suppose there wasn't really much stability under any of the three. They were just sort of had quite short stints in charge.
Yeah, they've it's been very unstable under the Venky's for the early parts. I mean, we started with Allardyce. He was quite unpopular when Venky's came in. He was an unpopular manager throughout the fans, to be fair. Personally, wasn't the best football, I didn't mind him. He's now gone. The fans that wanted him gone have now, most of them have gone. They don't tend to come anymore because they've got fed up with the Venky's, but just can't care for what you wish for. And then they brought Steve Keane in. Now, the whole appointment was a bit odd. He came in for the end of that season. He got another full season, which he got relegated. And he just thought, during that time, he's going to turn around at some point. He can't be this bad. Can't think of everything. They got everything wrong. They were advised so badly by so many different people. And then, like I say, they started firing from the hip once they got rid of Keane, which I think they were pushed into by the fans. A lot of people still give me grief. Ryan and Andy from the Danger Zone podcast still give me grief. But deep down, I think everyone knows it was the wrong. It wasn't personal on him. It was just he wasn't the man to take Blackburn anyway.
He got a lot of ridicule, didn't he? Like, from other fans and that, he was ridiculed as some kind of idiot. Do you think that was harsh, or do you think it was fair?
I think he got it from a lot of Blackburn fans as well, to be fair. I think he is harsh. You don't want to be too personal. But at the end of the day, I don't think he was an idiot. He was just... I think he was given, again, he was promised a lot of things. He's come across a bit of a snake the way he got the job, and I don't think that helped him. He stayed until the bitter end, and he still now says that he was pushed out and things, but his record was all right in the Championship. But you get a club relegated. I went to Tottenham at the end of that season. I tried to go to as many away games that season just to get them in on my ground list. Mm-hmm. I managed to go to Tottenham. My girlfriend's a Blackpool, she's a Blackpool fan. And we went and watched Millwall on the Saturday, Blackburn Tottenham on Sunday, and we had no shots. And we just did nothing. And it was felt like that was just the last straw for Keane. It was like, what are you doing? You're not getting us playing, we had a slight chance of staying up, and there was nothing.
Well, there was that
down, and it just went from there.
There was that picture of him going around the internet all the time, that meme with him counting on his fingers or something.
Yeah.
And it went around everywhere. But
that's the thing, he was an easy target, and I mean, like I say, it probably was a bit harsh on him, but for us, as a manager of a club, he wasn't going to do anything for us, he'd already done the damage, and yes, you can blame the Venky's as well, but the damage was already done. All around, and all the advisors coming in, Chevy Singh and everything, it was just a complete mess. And again, they got rid of Keane and they brought in Appleton, and then they brought Kerberg and Appleton. They were a mess. The compensation for Chevy Singh was a mess. And then since Derek Shaw came in, and I mean, a lot of people don't really like him either, he came in, Bowyer got the job, and stability is so much better now. And unfortunately, Bowyer's left us, but he's left us in a better position than we were previously, I think.
So let's go back, Henningberg and Michael Appleton. They both had fairly short stints. What did you make of them two? Were they...
I think Berg came in. I think we got beat by Blackpool in one of his first games, and he made a few changes. It didn't go down too well in my household. I weren't too happy. And I think it was just a rushed appointment. I think he was the Venkies again advised. He went for someone who was a previous player, a title winning side, thinking they'll get the fans back on board. And one or two games, a few fans came back, but they soon realised it wasn't any better. Like you say, short stint, he went, and that was him done. I think it was just after Christmas, or just before Christmas he went.
Sort of Christmas time, I can't remember the exact. What about Michael Appleton? What did you make of him?
I was quite impressed with him. I mean, he'd done a good job at Blackpool. They were, at the time, they'd gone through, Holloway had just gone. There was a bit of upturn there, and he was doing all right. And he seemed to have a short stint there, and we poached him from Blackpool. He came to us, and I thought we were doing all right. But again, I think he had a few defeats, and the big turning point was he drew 1-1 in the derby with Burnley. Did he draw 1-1? Did he get beat? I can't remember the result. We played really badly in the derby, and it wasn't fun or anything, and we didn't like it. It was a home game, and he just went from there, and they got rid of him. And I think they saw that the fans weren't happy with that one, and they decided to bring Bowyer in, who, again, fans' favourite, and he's stabilised the club.
Well, let's say about that. You say about stability under Gary Bowyer. I think he was in charge for about 3 years in total. It's hard to say because of his caretaker stints and all that. But, I mean, were you happy? Were you happy with him generally? Were there any highlights?
Generally was, yeah. I mean, I think it was about 300. The average, I've read something the other day, the average time for a championship manager is 380-something days. And I think he's lasted around that time. He was a little bit longer than the average stint. But I was happy with him. I was surprised he'd gone so early. I think his record this year is three wins in 16. And quite a few of my friends wanted him gone. But I was kind of thinking, well, under an embargo, who's going to win? And that's where you struggle. And I'd rather have stuck with, unless we get someone decent, I'd rather have stuck with Bowyer, knowing that the players are behind him. There's no, like you see at Chelsea at the moment, the players seem to be turning on Mourinho. There's no one turning on Bowyer. And it just seemed like everything in the background was all right at the moment. The benches were doing all right. Everything was quiet. And we were just plodding along. It just wasn't the step up that we need now to push for these playoffs.
Okay, well, let's look at the season so far then. 16th at the moment. Seems like safe mid-table sort of place.
Yeah, I was looking at where do you think we should be? And you start thinking about it. I think similar to last season, we finished, I think, 9th last season. Cemented that place pretty much about 4 games to go. No one could catch us. We couldn't go any further up. And I think I'd be happy with something like after our start. So after having this baddish start, hitting that point again with the new manager, trying to build, hopefully get out of this embargo, which we can talk about in a bit. I just thought that if we can stabilise that, I'd be quite happy with that. We have got a squad that's capable of the players, I think. I think you get the players fit, playing the right way, we can easily push for these playoffs. I've not been impressed with one side at Ewood this year. Brentford weren't that too impressive at the weekend. We've had Ipswich and Derby who haven't been impressive at all at home. So the league is there for the taking, I think.
Well, there was 3 wins this season, weren't there? Charlton, Ipswich, and then impressive away win to Leeds. I remember watching that game because you scored twice early on.
I can't believe it. I sat watching it at home, and it just seemed to, the first 6 minutes, I was like, 2-0, this is brilliant. And the previous game against Burnley, we'd lost 1-0, and we were the better side there. I mean, we had chance after chance, and Tom Robinson missed a sitter. And you just thought, we were playing well, we've not been playing badly. It's just we've not had the luck in some respects. We've not had those like killer moments where we've killed off a game, or we've won a game, or we've gone and just run out riot. And I thought Leeds would have been it, 2-0 was all right at the end, and it would have been a professional performance, but we're looking for that. You need to step up now. If we want to get any higher in the league, we need to be getting 2 or 3 goals and looking like we're going to win every game, not just a couple, and then having a bad game against Brentford at the weekend.
Well, that was the thing. It was impressive how early they went 2-0 up after, like you say, after 6 minutes, and the way it stayed 2-0. The game seemed quite well controlled to keep it at that score. which I think was definitely equally impressive, as well as the early goals.
Oh, yeah, his preferred fans played well. Yeah, definitely.
Have you got any particular highlights so far this season? Any, I don't know, any goals or any moments which have really stood out so far?
It's not been it's just been a hard slog, really. He's trying to pick out any top moments. I think Rhodes getting back on form. I think you look at international breaks make or break a period for a season for a club, so we like everyone thinks. And we had the start of the season was average, and we had the first international break, and then we came back and we played Fulham and we got beat 2-1. But we come out of the second half and it was a completely different side that came out. We should have won that game. And then from then onwards, before the next international break, we seemed to go on this good run. We had a couple of wins, we had really good performances. And then it just flips again. And now, since that last international break, we've kind of gone the other way. And we've just not built on that attacking momentum. We've played, and I think we played MK Dons away. Henley got sent off just before, it was the week before the Burnley game.
Uh-huh.
And we'd not right back, so we put our right mid at right back. He's a good player, Marshall. He can fill in at right back. But we've kept it there ever since. And I think that, again, is something that, I'm not saying the Venkies have thought about that, because I don't know whether they think of the football side as such without being advised by different people. But for me, it was Poyer's, one of his mistakes is doing that. He's our best attacking threat, and you want to play him up on your right wing to put a ball in, or your left wing with Conway on the other side. And them two players are invaluable this season. Rhodes will feed off everything they give.
Yeah. Okay. Let's look at the summer then. You mentioned the transfer embargo. I suppose transfers out, you made a few quid off Tom Kearney, Josh King, Rudy Gestad.
Yeah, I think it's just like Josh King was one that I mean a lot. He's very different between all Rovers fans. He had the game against Stoke last year. He got the hat trick, and it was a completely different player that turned up. From, I think me and two of my friends went on a really cold night up to Carlisle in the cup a few years ago, and we watched him play 120 minutes, and we lost on pens, and he was just awful. And I couldn't believe it was him that had come back, and then he got injured, and it seemed to be the recurring injuries that cost him his place in the team. Again, he went, we got a bit of money for him. Kearney went, which was a bit of a shock, really, at the time. I think apparently the rumours were the owners had pulled the trigger on that one to get the money in. And then the Gestad transfer came, which I knew was going to come. I think you could tell. I wasn't the biggest fan of Gestad. There was a lot of Rhodes versus Gestad last year between the fans. They both got over 20 goals each.
Mm-hmm.
They both complemented each other well, I thought, but Gestad just couldn't play 90 minutes. He's not lazy, he just hasn't got that in him.
Well, for Villa, he seems to come on as an impact sub rather than starting the game.
Yeah.
It seems to be an effective plan B, if you like.
Well, I mean, he came on against City the weekend. I know he didn't score, but he caused a bit. He rustled a few feathers with that throw in. But then I got at the end of the corner as well, and it's his presence. He's such a big lad. He puts himself about. I mean, last season with Liverpool in the cup, he took Skirtle out of the game in the first 5 minutes, just telling him for a header. And
yeah,
you don't want to see a player get injured, but for us, it was great to see that we could get to him at the back line, and that Gestad was putting himself about now. That was a different type of player he is to Rhodes. But working together, I thought they were all right. We miss his presence now. I think we need a big lad up top to help Rhodes out. He can't do it all on his own, Rhodes. But as you say, he doesn't play 90 minutes. He comes on an impact sub, and I think he's being found out at the top level.
There was a lot of players released as well on frees, like Leon Best. There was David Dunn, who's been there a while. Former England goalie, Paul Robinson.
I think that helped with the wage bill, mainly. Best was just eating up, and I think he liked to wind fans up on Instagram and things like that, and he'd post pictures of being in the gym and being like, he looked physically, he looked in shape, and he looked like he was ready to go, but come on the pitch, and he just didn't turn up. And I think that's where Bowyer grew a set, and I tossed him aside, and obviously we got rid of him for the wages. Dixon and Tuu went the year before, I think. Danny Murphy went well before that. We signed a lot of players on big wages, and I think this summer became the end of where the likes of Atua had gone just before, Best had just gone now. There's a few others. Jake Keane had been given a big contract, he went, and there's quite a few. Robinson was on good money. I really liked him, but again, he wasn't getting any younger. He had his personal problems, and we all wish him the best with his health, with the lung problem that he had. And he seems to be doing all right for himself now, but he just wasn't cut out to give us what we needed from a goal.
Is there anyone you've missed who's been released who you think we should have kept?
I think possibly David Dunn around the dressing room, but again, I don't think he'd been on a mega money, but again, his wages that we probably could have done with saving, but you'd love to have him around the dressing room. You wouldn't get rid of him. I'm trying to think of anybody else, really. I don't think there's many others that we've... You're going really far back if you start looking for, like, GV, Ryan Nelson, the kind of warriors we're missing the back, but recently I wouldn't be on the fuss about the people who've, like, gone freeze, if you will. So it was not too bad. I'm glad we didn't sell Rhodes. We stuck at 12 million on a plus for that for him. No one paid him, but he's one of the best number nines in this league. A lot of clubs want that false nine doing everything. Andre Gray, he's well worth his 9 million because he can go out and he'll score goals, he'll put himself out, he'll do the channel, and he's strong. Rhodes slowly getting to put himself about a bit more, but he's best finishing by miles that I've seen.
Well, allegedly there was a 14 million off. Pound offer for him. I don't know that for sure, but there was rumours of it.
I think that was Middlesbrough, I think. I heard 12 million was the best one we got from Hull, but Middlesbrough, apparently offered 14 and we rejected that, which would have been, I think it's staggering that we rejected it. A lot of people would have accepted it, but then where would we have been now? I think he's got about 7 goals and he won one of the games we won. He scored 2 against Ipswich, which we wouldn't have had. So you'd just be looking at our worst position. I mean, this season we went down. And Bowley ended up finishing the season in charge when Keane was at the beginning. We only scored, I think, 52 goals from that, and half of them were from Rhodes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if he hadn't got them goals, we'd have been in League One by now, and then we wouldn't have had him. So,
well, if it was your call, would you have sold him? If it was your call, if you got that 12, 14 million pound offer, would you have sold him?
Beginning of this season, I wouldn't have done no. We're selling instead, we'd have had nothing up front, and we wouldn't have been able to. I mean, it was only after the transfer window shut that we found out we would have come out of the embargo now. You'd expect people in the club to have already known that for selling Rhodes. But we reckon it's 6 million to come out of this embargo. But if that had happened, we couldn't have gone and still wouldn't have been able to spend loads of money on someone to replace Rhodes, who would give us 20 goals a season, which is what we need. And he gets 20 goals in a season, we stay up.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's around everybody else. Conway, he's having a brilliant, great season so far. You're looking at your likes of Marshall, your Tom Lawrence, who's coming on loan from Leicester. If they can chip in, that's where I think we can get up there. The defence is shored up now. Hanley and Duffy are playing well. It's just getting into that, getting past that next mark. And if a manager comes in and gets them into that next bracket, I think we'll be easy top half. And we can push. I think playoffs are a bit too far this year, but who knows what can happen.
Okay, well, let's look at the signings that have come in then. Yeah, there was Guthrie and Akpan, the two midfielders coming in. Delfinezo, obviously, he can't sign players because of the transfer embargo you mentioned, but I suppose there's been a few decent free signings who have come in.
Guthrie, yeah. He's one of them, you've heard about him, he's been around a while, and you think, oh, big name, but then we've had Danny Murphy, who was similar, so we're all a bit reserved on him. But he came in and he did well, to be fair. Him and Corey Evans in the middle were playing well. And I really like the fact that he come in, that he took to it well, he was spreading the ball well, but he's got injured at the moment, so it's a bit unfortunate for him. Which then let Akpan come in the middle now. He started off really well. He put himself about, I think it was the Ipswich game, we won 2-0, and then we played a game midweek, and I think he pulled up with a bit of an injury. But he's been that kind of box-to-box midfielder, and he's got long legs, and he'll just a little burst of like a stride, and he'll be away from someone, and he'll win a penalty, or he's done really well. For the last couple of games, he seems to be a bit tired now. I don't know whether that's not being able to rotate him. Jason Moore's not fit, who I would start in the middle. A lot of fans say maybe not, but he's our best covering midfielder. He's like a... He's not Carrick's level, but he's like a Michael Carrick where he'll cover the back four, and if the full-back bombs on, he's there to fill in and covers a lot of ground. But Akpan's been brilliant this season, apart from the last couple of games. But if he can have a rest now in the international break, he'll be invaluable to us.
Okay. Let's move on to...
Dunn's a bit of another one. I mean, a lot of fans don't really rate him. He was a Blackpool. He's got a bit of pace, but he came on against Brentford and he offered absolutely nothing.
Okay. let's move on to a really good topic. Venky's then. They've been in charge since 2010. They're an Indian meat processing company. I did my research. 2010 they've been there. So what, 5 years? It was about this time 5 years ago, I think, actually.
Yeah, he came in about October, November time. They got rid of Alan Dash like December time after a 7-0 defeat to United.
You weren't celebrating the anniversary then?
No.
So what do you make of them? I think I can guess the answer, but...
Well, they came in, they were advised so badly, it was true. They had Jerome, I can't think of his name, Anderson coming in, who advise them to do certain things. They had the coffee killer company, Senko, I think, or something like that, came in and they were advising my agents by your player and all this lot. They just basically made a hash of it and they didn't help themselves coming out with the comment of they didn't get relegated. They thought it was like the NFL, like it was a franchise where they were always in the league, just wouldn't move, but surely they would have done the research and they wouldn't come out with the comments without speaking to somebody, and it just seemed to be wrong from one thing to another, and then they get rid of Allardyce and then they bring in someone else. They've got choice of backroom staff and that changed, and the board level changed through Chevy Singh. It was just an absolute farce, and it was only when they decided to get rid of Chevy Singh and tried to get and got Bowyer in that it's gone alright, and I've learned to live with him since Bowyer took over a couple of years ago, and it seems I can live with them now. But then they've done this week, and it's a big test now to see whether they have put the money where their mouth is with keeping players like Rose and making sure that they didn't accept the money and keeping the money within the team in that respect. But it's just that now, how much do they want to push on and who can they attract?
Well, this is what I was going to ask. What do you make of the investment? Well, obviously they can't at the moment with the embargo, but do you think that there will be decent investment?
First, like I said, they were advised so bad that they weren't making decent. Well, you think they were. I mean, Danny Murphy, I think everyone thought he was a great signing. He came down to the block. But again, you chuck your money at a couple of players like him, Dixon, to him, and they weren't at they're not at the prime, and that's what let them down. And I think they lost a lot of money in that respect. But then they started, like, when they got Derek Shaw in, and I mean, again, like I said, a lot of people don't like him, but I think he stabilised his finances slightly. And they started spending money a bit more wisely on freeze, but getting the right wages in, getting players in who want to come in and actually play football and think, I don't want to just come in for the money, I actually want to go and prove myself. They've been good with the loan market, obviously that's costing some money, wages and fees maybe, and Boy has helped with that because he's got an eye for the right players that he wants around his squad. Mm-hmm. But he's keeping them key players, so he'd spent money on Gusted and Conway the year before the embargo, and they were the best buys. Gusted was, I think, it was combined about $1 million, $1.5 million, $2 million, something like that, combined for both of them. And we've already made the money back from selling Gusted. And Conway is like one of the most assists last year, something like that. Best left foot I've seen for a long time at Blackburn. Everything since like Pedersen and players like that. So it's brilliant that they're putting the money in that way. It's just, can they sustain that now if we get out of this embargo and get the right man in?
Do you think it's it was like naivety from them rather than something a bit more sinister?
Yeah, I don't think they were trying to do anything wrong. I think they had the brand of Venky's that they wanted to get out there. No publicity is bad publicity, is it, at the end of the day?
Well,
so they've got something out there already. But it's just more, I think, like I say, I can only, from what I've read, they were advised so badly. And I think, I don't know whether they regret it or not, but I think they were just a bit naive in what they thought they were getting into. I thought they thought it was going to be an easy ride. They didn't realise they'd have to put a bit of money in, or they'd have to actually be involved, or they wanted to be a bit more involved than they probably could be with what they knew.
Well, when I remember when they took over, wasn't there the fan as well with he had a chicken and he put a Blackburn scarf on it and took it to the ground or something like that?
It's happened twice, that I think. Was it the first?
It was a couple of weeks after they took over, I thought. I can't remember.
There was a few incidents like that where I think they tried to move it. The two that stick out was one, Wigan, when we got relegated, you had to pick it out the back of the net. And then the first game of the following season, I think they did it again. And it wasn't near a net, it was like on the side pitch, so it kind of became a bit of a joke. But I think pretty early on, straight away, there were the away fans, and there was all sorts of people coming in, taking some chicken suits and all that. It was just, they make a run for their own back, really. But again, I think they just wanted to get the brand out there. I don't think they realised how much work would have to be into it and what the Premier League entailed and what bringing an actual club would entail.
Okay. Final question.
They got rid of John Williams. Got rid of John Williams straight away. He was like the life of Blackburn. He was our chairman, and they got rid of him pretty much same time as Allardyce, and that was the worst thing. And I think a lot of fans towards the end of the season, their chat was like, we don't need millions, we want John Williams. And it says a lot, really, that the money wasn't there before Venky's came in. And ironically, it's not there now.
Well, final question then. With obviously Bowyer leaving, as we mentioned before, who do you want to come in and replace him? At the time of this, there's obviously no one in. Lambert's the favourite, hot favourite, but then you've got other former manager, Villa manager Tim Sherwood. Is there anyone in particular you want to keep him in?
I wrote on my notes, not Tim Sherwood. They were the exact words. I had visions of Tim Sherwood coming in, and all he'd do is put a picture of him lifting the Premier League trophy on the wall. What would all be about him?
Do you think he's and a poor manager then?
I think he's not. He's done all right. He didn't do too bad at Spurs. Villa he was left with, he didn't. It makes you wonder where did he buy the players, because I mean he bought a lot of players, I think he's been 3 or 4 from the French leagues, and obviously he bought Gusted, and he had a bit of youth in there and stuff, so again, it's hard to say, they dropped the bottom of the league, so obviously they were right to, they were in the right to get rid of him, but I don't know, time will tell, but I just wouldn't run at him at my club with the attitude that he has.
Okay, who would you want to see as manager?
I keep banging on about it and it sounds daft, but I quite like Holloway just because it'd be an entertaining game of football every week.
All right.
A lot of fans don't really agree with me on that one. He was 20-1 originally, I think. Lambert is the hot favourite, but I've heard he's down at Fulham on QPR. He might be talking to QPR today, so that's a bit up in the air. Moyes has only been connected with it through Derek Shaw, really, because they were together at Preston. Moyes is... I'm not convinced on him here. I think he wants to get back into it, but I wouldn't want him to be the guinea pig for him to get back into management. I'd like Holloway. I'd like Lambert as well, really. He's my favourite. I think Lambert would do well. The Lambert from Norwich, Lambert from Villa, he'd do all right, but I'd like to see Lambert from Norwich come back into the frame.
Okay. There's one other person who we've not considered who's, according to the BBC, he's been in talks. That Djokanovic?
Yeah. I don't really know much about him, to be honest. I'd like to go for somebody who's trying to test it in this league, in the Lambert. I'd like to go with like a Holloway or a Moyes. Can't think of his name now, he's gone. Lambert and Holloway, ones that have got promotion. Again, I'd like to go with a British manager, really. Someone who can just keep the club going like Gary Bowyer has. I wouldn't want someone foreign, but then again... other clubs have done it and it's worked well.
Okay. All right, well, let's talk a bit about you then. You're on the Danger Zone Football Podcast.
My friend Ryan and Andy, we started a laugh. We just thought we talk about football every day. We have WhatsApp groups, we have chats. We don't see each other as much as we should do really nowadays. Andy lives in Manchester, and Ryan moved to Canada a couple of years ago. But we all started playing football together in Preston. And he got friendship grew from there, and we decided to start this podcast in the summer, just a bit of a laugh, and it's kind of took off a bit better than we thought, really.
Okay, you can follow that on Twitter. It's at Danger Zone Football, is that?
It's at Danger Zone Pod. You can follow on Twitter. We tend to try and tweet as much as we can. It's been placed as Facebook group Danger Zone Pod, and then we've got a website dangerzonepodcast.com.
Okay, well, we'll link to that in the description. You can also follow us at V2 Football. Thanks for joining me. Your time's appreciated.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Good night.
Yeah.